All right, this morning we will be studying, this will be number 95 in the series on Satan's Eden. And we'll study the understanding of the Godhood of God, the relationship of Father and His Son. Now, I just want to say that I believe that everyone who is a true seed of God will understand the Godhood of God. Now, I say Godhood instead of Godhead because the word Godhead, basically, it means Godhood. And Godhood is the term hood after a word is defined as a state or condition of being. So, in other words, the attributes and characteristics which make God, God. Okay. So, in John 6 and 45, it is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard of the Father and learned from him comes to me. Now, there's two things there. There's hearing from the Father, which many people have, but then learning from him, which many people have not done. And so we want to focus on that part. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we studied four characteristics of how God is not only the God of Jesus, but is also the Father of Jesus. Well, we just read how everyone will be taught of God. So I would like to teach you about God. Now, number one, how was Jesus and God one? Well, the answer is God is the Word, and God's Word is life, and Jesus manifested God's Word and God's life, his God life. In 1 John 5, and I believe around somewhere between 10 and 12, he says, if you echo, he that echoes the Son shall echo life. Well, that means that you can't have this revelation without having the light. You might have a, not a revelation, you might have a, let's just say, the difference between an echo and a repeat is death, all right? In other words, the word is death, but the spirit gives the life. So an echo is something that is present tense. All right. In other words, if Don says something right now and I repeat it, that's an echo. If God says something now and you see it in the manifested form and you repeat it, that's an echo. But if the prophet says something 60 years ago and the people just repeat what the prophet said, but they have no revelation, which means manifestation, they have no idea that is actually taking place today, then they're just repeating. So, you see, so you can repeat this message till the cows come home, and it won't do anything for you. It must be a revelation. So, from Show to Father, he said, Philip here was very inquisitive. He wanted to see his father. It says here, he said, I passed along with you, Philip, but you don't know me. Said, when you see me, you see my father. In other words, you see the father express himself through the Son. You see, right after he said that, he said, because my Father's in me. So they don't quote that part of it. They just quote the part that says, I'm the Father's one, and they don't have any clear understanding of how he and God were one. But then he continues and says, him and the Father were one in the sense that his Father was dwelling in him. Not him doing the works. He was a Son himself, the immortal virgin born Son of God. And that in him was dwelling the Father, the God, the Father, expressing himself to the world, his attitude towards the people. See, well, that's how Christ and God were one. So God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. Now he said, when you see me, you see the Father. And why do you say, show us the Father? Notice he says in John 10 and 30 to 38, he says, I, my Father, are one. My Father dwelt in me. And in John 14, 8 to 10, he says, you see me, you see my Father dwells in me. So from the message, works is faith expressed. All right. He says, Father, the Father draws him first or reveals me to him first. You ought to read that. It's St. John 6, 44 to 46. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was just an ordinary man. They thought him just to be, as people does today, some prophet. But he was the prophet. He was an ordinary man, but there was more than that. Now, we could say the same of William Branham. So William Branham was an older brother in the family, but he wasn't the oldest brother, but he was so much like the eldest brother that people thought he was Jesus Christ. I mean, there's many people thought he was Jesus Christ because of the things that he did, but it wasn't him doing them. He said, I can't do anything but without a vision. So same with Jesus. They thought he was God. And he said, no, why do you stone me for saying I'm the Son of God? And they say, well, you try to make yourself equal with him. Well, don't they know that if he's the firstborn son, he is equal with the Father in all things? Now, from works of faith expressed, Jesus clearly expressed this when he said, no man can come to me except my Father, for Father draws him first or reveals me to him first. You ought to read it. It's St. James, or St. James 6, 44 and 46. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was just an ordinary man. They thought him just to be, as people does today, some prophet, or he was a prophet, he was an ordinary man. But there was more than that. So we find that in Matthew 12 and 18, he says, in whom my soul is, I will put my spirit in him. So you see, at the River Jordan, God entered his son. There was no miracles in the boy from age 0 to 30, but at the River Jordan, God entered him. Now you start seeing miracle after miracle after miracle, the dead raised, healing of the sick and everything else. So it just goes to show that they didn't have their, had they been spiritual, they would have said, okay, now, there wasn't any miracles for his first 30 years, so why all of a sudden is there miracles? What happened? What took place? Then they would have found what took place. In Mark 1 and 11, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. So, in other words, God dwelling in his son. Now, from identification, then God came down, and the character of God was Christ. He was the reflection. He was God made visible. Notice, God made visible. In the beginning was God. He wasn't even God then. No, God's an object of worship. Only thing he was the eternal, and in him was attribute. Those attributes were thoughts, and these thoughts was expressed to words, and words was made manifest. What is it? It's all God becoming tangible. In other words, you can feel it. You can go grab a hold of it, right? All you are a part of God, and Jesus come to redeem those that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. It was in God's thought. And that's what he come to redeem. And them, as soon as it strikes to them, they see it because the life is there. But if the life isn't there, then what can they do? See? But I believe everyone here this morning is going to go with me in the rapture. I really believe that. I believe you're all sons and daughters of God. It's so good to see you home. So anyway, and we're going to our home. So now they don't see it. They never see it. See, and the whole thing is, Jesus said, at that day you'll know I'm in the Father in me. I in you, and you in me. Now, let's just break it down, okay? At that day you know the Father, the Word, is in me, right? The spoken Word, or the manifested Word, and I, the manifested Word, in you, and you in me, the manifestation, okay, the manifested Word. The whole thing is God becoming material, like a husband and a wife becoming one together, God and his church becoming one. See, we are living in the age. I have already 8 more sermons prepared, okay, or 8 counting this one. And we are going to be getting into the end time scenes because I want you people to see everywhere you look. You open your eyes, you see him because he's here. He's fulfilling his word. And you are the fulfillment of the word. This is the age of harvest, and you are going to be harvested, all right? You're part of what God laid out in scripture form and through the prophets, all the prophets, even to this last age prophet. And so when we get into end time scenes, you will see things that Brother Branham said and the other scriptures like Isaiah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah, etc., that they said are taking place in this hour, Daniel, the whole works. And you will see the fulfillment of the seed which was in there. In other words, in their day, it was only seed form, and many of those prophets never even understood what it was, but they just planted it anyway because they said what he gave a vision to see. Now, you are seeing the manifestation of that, which makes the word not no longer a word or a seed, it makes it a reality. And now that you are living in that reality, now the resurrection can take place because it will just be another reality to you. It won't be like some hocus pocus. It's a miracle. He said it would be as natural as just turning on a light, just as natural for you. And I believe with all my heart that we're coming into it because of the reality of the word is basically, everything is being harvested. This is the harvest. It's not just the people are harvested. It's everything. I mean, God, everything God said, every word he laid, every seed he planted in the earth is now coming to fruition. And we are living in the most glorious age that ever was, if you can only open your eyes and see as God sees. And you will if you have the Holy Ghost. Now, from God's gifts, find the place. He said, now notice, now, the same as now, they rejected identified deity. Do you get it? They will certainly put their name on a church book and say, I'll try to live by this creed. They'll take an oath by this. But when it comes to accepting deity and expressing back the same kind of a gift like they did, that you are identified by your gift, that you give your entire being to it to be identified deity. So, listen. If in fact, Abel became his sacrifice. If in fact Jesus said, for this purpose have I come, so that he could be the bleeding, dying lamb. If in fact you become your sacrifice, then I am John 14:12. This body, I'm walking, I'm talking, my hand is coming back, and we're living in the reality of the word, because this vessel should be dead according to the neurologist, but he's not. This vessel should be a vegetable, but he's not. He's living, breathing, identifying my revelation to this, my contribution, if you call it, to this end time ministry with John 14:12, that we the people who have the Holy Ghost will have the same nature and the same spirit, and we will actually identify with it. I am identified because I'm here. Hallelujah. All right. So then you identify yourself with the deity by giving all you are and what you are to deity himself. Now Christ in this day, now we now live in, is still a deifying or identifying himself deity among the peoples. He's still deity because he is the word. And when we see the word living itself, then we know that man can't do that. It's deity, the word being made manifest by the vessel. He said the man, I say the vessel. All right, in other words, the only part you have in it is listening to him in here and then doing what he says. Then when you do what he says, you actually are expressing him. Just the same as a son expressed his father, you are now expressing him, okay? And Jesus said himself, the son can do nothing himself. I can't do nothing. I'm a man. Jesus said, but my father that dwells in me, he showeth me all things that himself doeth. Amen. There you are. What is it? Deity being identified in man. Now, the same thing is today, that deity, the promised word for this age, can identify itself in you. Amen. Then, can you hold to it? Show that you believe in it. Give it deity. Believe it. Service. Be ready to die out to yourself and your own thoughts, but today it's rejected as it was then. You see, the problem is that we also have our own thoughts. You know, like Brother Bram said about Jesus, sometimes it was God speaking, sometimes it was him. But I'm going to clarify that. You see, he said that disciples didn't know it, but he said sometimes it was Jesus speaking, sometimes the Father that dwelt in him. But didn't Jesus himself say all the things things I teach, he taught me what to say. All the things I do them because he did them. Then, listen, he was an expression entirely of God that lived in him. And since you all are deity, not the deity, but you are part of him. You see, people don't understand God's life. You know, they don't understand what spirit is. They say, I got the Holy Spirit, and they don't understand. What you have is God life. God life. He said, my spirit, my words are spirit, and they are life. So first of all, word, then spirit, then life. See? And so you've got God life living in you. You children, listen up to me. All right? You that want the Holy Ghost. It's God in you, and you have to learn to die out to your own thinking, and you have to learn to accept God's thinking. Just like when Ella was going to steal a piece of bubble gum or something from her dad one day. And anyway, she said, Grandpa, I'm really sad. And I said, why? Well, I don't know if I have the Holy Ghost. And I said, have you been baptized correctly? She said, yes. I said, well, he promised to give it to you. I said, no. I said, maybe you don't know what the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is his word, and it's living in you. Now, do you ever do things and then stop because the Holy Spirit tells you? She said, well, yeah, I was going to steal a piece of dad's candy. And she said, God said, thou shalt not steal. I said, well, what was that? That's the word. I said, who's speaking to you? It was the word speaking to you. See, so you do have the Holy Ghost, but it's just an infant form, and you have to learn to die out to more of Ella. Brother Bram said, my greatest enemy was myself. And you have to die out to yourself, okay? William, you the same. You have to die out to William. Bo, same with you. You have to learn to die to Bo and live the life of Jesus in you. He'll do it. He promised you it. You see? Same with you, Sally. Jesus wants to live his life in you. All right? So you have to learn how to do that. Now, that's the questions I get all the time. People say, how do I die? Well, how does anything die? You just cease to live. All right? You just cease to be. And then you become him. You know, Brother Bram, people thought he was Jesus because he lived like Jesus. He talked like Jesus. You know, all right. So in Matthew 17:5, this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to dwell. Matthew 3:17, this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to dwell. And then we see from investments, Brother Bram said, oh, what a rational decision this rich young ruler made. We people today think he done a horrible thing. He's like the people of Laodicea today. He wants popularity, praises of men instead of serving, instead of the service policy, this is it, that God offers to men to live by. Jesus Christ was the express image of God. He was what, he was what God through his power projected, a body which was called Son because he was a man. And he come from God, and he was so committed to God till he didn't think it robbery at all at him and God being the same person. I could say one thing here, but I won't. But if you understand what it means to be projected, the life is projected. In other words, every one of you is a human dynamo. And the only thing you can do is project what is inside. You will either project a thief and a robber and a steal and gossip and everything else, or you will project Jesus Christ. It's like a movie projector. It's nothing except for what comes through it is you got the film, and then there's a light. Through the light, it projects out to the world, and they see Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what you are. Is you are a light to this world. Okay? Now, but he was so committed to God till he didn't think it robbery that him and God being the same person. And they were. Because God was the Word. And he was the Word. How was he the Word? Expressed. How are you the Word? Expressed. In the beginning was the Word is with God. And there's where God could take his word without anything, any interruption. He was constantly doing that, the Father wanted done. And there the Word could work through him there until him and the Father was one. All right? A projector projects the same image that's on the film. All right? If you've ever been to the movie pictures, you see that it projects exactly what is on the film. So then what you see on your screen is exactly what was in the film. All right? Well, the same way God, through you, uses you to project himself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am alive. Yet it's me living. It's Christ is living in me. Now, look, you might, from a natural standpoint, look at all the sin that and all the things that you did or didn't do and all the unpleasantness of your voice and all the different things that you might have said. But you're not supposed to look at that. You're supposed to look at the Word only. You see, that's where we make our mistake. We try to be Jesus when we should just let go and let God be Jesus in us. All right? Now, from John 17:11, they may be one even as we are one. Now, even as is what? That they may be one as we are one. What is the word even as or as? It's the same manner. So you're not just one because God made you a vessel and God decided to make you one like your fingers one. You are one with his Word, and his Word expresses itself through you, and you then become a living Jesus in reality, a manifested Son of God. There is your seed coming to manifestation. It's not some hocus pocus. It's not some great miracle. Listen. We know the only miracle amongst the bride would be the third pole. And we know that that is creative power. And we see in me creative power of God. All right? I should be dead. I'm not. You should be dead somewhere down the road, but you're not. He saved you from an accident, or he saved you from this or that. You see, you just don't see it that way because you think, oh, I escaped that. Well, I'm really something. No, you're nothing. But he is. But he is something. And he wants to be something through you. You see? All right. So in John 17, so now this word as means in the same way. And in verse 21 and 22, he tells us how we become one in that same way. John 17:21. Then that they may all be made, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. They also may be one in us. That the glory, which that's a doxa, opinions and values, etc., which thou hast given me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we're one. Again, Jesus showed us how to do it. He became the expression of the Word. And you can become the expression of the Word as the prophet was the expression of the Word. You see, the prophet was the Word made manifest, and guess what? He's off the scene. But guess what? You are on the scene. And so God is using you now. He was the first fruit. You are now the rest of the planting. It's in you. All right? So live up to it. Okay. We are one with God by receiving his glory, his doxa, his opinions, his vows, his judgment. Now, number two, God is greater than Jesus. Jesus was subject to his Father in all things. Now, in John 10:29, says, my Father is greater than all. And in John 14:20, for my Father is greater than I. Now, what is he saying? The word greater, I didn't put it in my notes here, but comes from a word which not only means older, but it actually means greater. Okay, in other words, more number. So, Brother Branham, when Jesus says, my Father is greater than I, of course, he's using it from the term, my Father is before me. He's older than me. He's eternal. I am not. I am a son. All right? So, we must think in the same terms. We were part of God's thinking before the foundations of the world, but there come a time when those thoughts God planted in himself become a reality, and in this day they are a reality, and you are it. You are it. All right. Now, Matthew 20:23 says that my Father prepared of my Father. Okay. So we then know that God was before the Son. God was preparing his way. He was just like John the Baptist. You'll prepare the way before me. Okay. In 1 Corinthians 15:24-28, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up to the kingdom, even the Father, when he shall have put all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his, the Son of God's feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. All right. For he, God, hath put all things under his, Jesus' feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he, God, is accepted, which did put all things under him, the Son of God. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, God, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. There's your order. Now, you see God at the top, then firstborn Son, and now you and I, etc. From the future home, Brother Bram said, the city with the throne in top, Revelation 21:23, and they need no light, for the Lamb of the Lord is the light thereof. See, the Lord God is that pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel through the wilderness, and he is ascended upon the throne in that perfect kingdom when the kingdom of that Jesus is to surrender to the Father, that God might be all in all. Jesus sets upon his throne here as our Joseph. Then the king is that light that will be on top of Mount Zion, and his holy light will flood the entire city. Hallelujah. All right. So then God, being a pillar of fire, then works through his Son, just like a light on a candle is not much light, but then you put a reflector there and you make it into a lamp, and now the lamp is the Word of God, you see, living in you, because the light is the Word of God to our path. So Zechariah 3:8, it says, he calls my servant the branch. All right. Well, what does the branch do? It bears fruit. All right. So if he is the servant, the branch, then you are other branches. All right. You will bear other fruit. Now, Matthew 12:18 says, behold my servant in whom I delight. Now, if he is a servant, then he's a servant of who? He's a servant of God. And he doesn't see anything, doesn't hear anything, unless it's God. He said, all that the Father said to me, I do. Right? So in Isaiah 42:19 says, who is blind but my servant? Now, can you imagine having a blind servant? Well, I tell you what, when I was in the Philippines in 2000, I had African sleeping sickness. And so I was really achy all over my body. And so I went to some blind people at the mall, and they gave me they massaged my legs, and my legs, basically all the pain went away. All right. And so, you know, it was in a mall, so you had your clothes on, you sit there, you know, but they knew how to do it. But they were blind servants, but boy, I tell you, they could give you a good massage. Well, he says, or deaf as my messenger that I sent. So can you imagine having a messenger that you sent? How are you going to give a message? By vision. That's it. Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Which of you is as blind as the Lord's servant? Which of you is as blind as William Branham was? Which of you is as blind as Jesus was? They're blind to everything else but his word. See, that's what we want to do. All right, Philippians 1:6. Being confident in this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, all right, how many of you were rank heathens? Well, I admit it. I was a rank heathen. I was a Catholic boy. And what happened? God gave me light. And what did I do with that light? You know, God sent a man to perform miracles, and I'm just really interested in miracles and supernatural and everything. I didn't care. Look, I didn't care about Because I went to Quebec to St. Anne's Cathedral. I watched people go up on their knees and down on their knees, 25 steps of stone. And I saw them at about William's age. I saw those people were healed. So I wasn't interested in the healing aspect because I saw God in my life, in my family. I saw much miracles take place. But God brought me his word. And that word transformed who Brian Kusorik was from a football player and from a soccer player to a son of God preaching the gospel. And so I became my revelation, a son of God, okay? Now, being confident of this very thing, that he which began the good work in you right then, back then, he's actually going to be with you until it's completed. Wow. That is exciting to know that he is with us. He came in the form of a pillar of fire, in the form of three rainbows in 2012 or 2007. And he did it in Brother Branham back then. And he said, the reason I appeared before you like this is because of what you have believed and preached for the last 30 years. Well, if he did it for him after 30 years, he did it for me after 30 years. In other words, God doesn't change. So if he is with him, was with him, and he is with us, because the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium, then he is still here. Amen. Okay. Now, and what's he doing? He's performing until the day of Jesus Christ in you. All right. Now, from Colossians 1:29, wherefore I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So God is working in us. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. Guess who's doing the willing? God. Guess who's doing the doing? God. So just get out of the way. You know, I mean, he loves you. You don't want a stroke where, you know, where he's got you captive like this. You know, I mean, I felt I was captive before, but I'm really captive now. And he's my all in all. So anyway, and it's God working in you both to will and to do. All right. Philippians 2:7-8, as servant who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. You see, I didn't die for you. He kept me alive. So, you know, that wasn't my role. That was his role. And he said, for this purpose have I come into this world. So that's his role. My role is to live for you. Not to die for you, to live for you. And your role, guess what, to each other, is to live for each other. Amen? Okay. That's why he says in Romans 5:19, obedience is of one, and Hebrews 9:1-9, thy God hath anointed thee. How could, you know, if he was God, how could God anoint him? It doesn't make any sense. And Hebrews 45:6-7, but God anointed Jesus when God entered Jesus at the River Jordan, when the person of God entered him. He was born with God life, just like John the Baptist, but he received the fullness of God at the River Jordan. And then we read in Psalm 45:6-7, the God hath anointed thee. And Hebrews 5:7, he offered up prayers unto him. See, Jesus prayed. You know, I don't think sometimes, you know, we think, well, I'm just so full of God, I don't need to pray. No, that means you really do need to pray to get out of the way. All right. From Luke 6:12, all night in prayer. All night in prayer unto God. And Matthew 11:25, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, he's praying again. In John 17:5, Father, the hour has come, he's praying again. You see, when his greatest test was upon him, he didn't say, well, now I'm going to make it on my own. I'm going to do this thing and get it over with. No, he said, God, I can't make it on my own, but you can. You can will and you can do. See, the same God, willing and doing, is working in you to will and to do. All right. Matthew 26:39-42, my Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. In 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of Christ is God. 1 Corinthians 3:23, Christ is God's. He belongs to God, not mine to give, but my Father's. In Matthew 20:23, in 1 Corinthians 15:24, the Son himself is subject to the Father. Now, Jesus admits the Father is greater than he. This word greater was translated from the Greek word not only meaning greater, but also older. When the Trinitarian tells you that Jesus was co-eternal and co-equal with his Father, how can he be when the Son himself denied he was? He said he's greater than me. In other words, he's older than me. How can a son be the same age as his father? It's impossible. I mean, I can see some protozoa that, you know, can reproduce within a days or so of being born. But, you know, we are human beings and our gestation period is at least 9 to 10 months. So, you know, it just doesn't make any sense. So when the Trinitarian tells us that Jesus was co-equal and co-eternal and co-equal with his Father, how can he be when the Son himself denied he was? All sons have beginnings. Then how could the Son be the eternal Father? He couldn't be. See, just look around you and you will see, not in here, but outside. When you're at the mall or whatever, and you see the insanity around us, and you see people don't make common sense. They just not common sense. Like one time I was at the mall and a man had, you know, I didn't know it, but his woman come out. And I say woman because I have no clue if it was his wife or not. But she had like 9 piercings in her ears. And I just turned to the man and I said, my goodness, I said, just insanity. I said, pure insanity. Next thing you know, they'll be piercing their tongues. And then he sticks his tongue out and he's got a big old 16 penny nail in his tongue. And I just looked at him instead of, you know, shrinking up and say, oh, well, Lord bless you, my brother, sorry. You know, no, I just said, why in the world would you do something that's stupid? And you know what he said to me? I don't know, for something to do. You see, they don't have God in their life. They're looking for some thrill. You don't get it by sticking a 16 penny nail in your tongue. Good grief, they're just insane. But that's the insanity that's upon us. Now, Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a son is born. Now, if he is born, then he has a beginning. All right? Therefore, he's not eternal. If he's born, someone before him had to give birth to him. Born suggests pedigree and lineage, also suggests to bring forth. B, unto us a son is given. If he's given, the giver is greater than the gift. And the giver is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. All right. Then the government shall be upon his shoulder. Luke 31:32. He's called son of the highest. Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And besides, notice, it says his government shall be upon his shoulders. Well, he is the head. Who's the shoulders? It's you and I. You see, we are going to rule. What's the Bible say? The saints shall judge the earth. We're going to be kings and priests. We're going to be ruling. All right, we're shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, let's examine the last portion, which deals with the name of this child. It says this son that will be born, he will be wonderful. Now, is wonderful a name? Well, absolutely it's not. No. Is Counselor a name? Nope. It's a title. Is Mighty God? Is Mighty God a name? Nope. Is Everlasting Father? Is Father a name? Nope. So this prince then is not the Mighty God. He's not the Everlasting Counselor. All right, now listen. He says the Prince of Peace. Is the Prince of Peace a name? Nope. Nope. Now there's only one name of the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God, the Counselor, etc. That name is Jesus. When does what then does it mean his name should be called? In other words, his name will be Korah. His name shall proclaim the Mighty God. His name shall proclaim the Everlasting Father. His name shall proclaim the Counselor. His name shall proclaim the Wonderful. His name shall do all these things, you see? So Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. All right. So which name shall proclaim the mighty God, the everlasting Father? The Father's name, of course. And he said, I come in my Father's name. See, that's number three. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Now, John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep will hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, how many of you sheep in here have heard his voice in this hour? All right. And continue to hear his voice in this hour. Right. Therefore, the name of the Father was Jesus, the name of the given to the Son. The Apostle Paul said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. He did not say God was Christ, but God was in Christ. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ, okay? Paul is teaching here that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead, but he is teaching that in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead. And that is because they have been taught wrong. They think Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead when he is not. The fullness of the Godhead is God. And he, God, was in Jesus. You see, Colossians 2:9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. And the brother, and he said, you know, I thought that, you know, he was saying, well, you know, I mean, you know, the fullness of God was in Brother Branham. I said, no, the fullness of God was not in Brother Branham. Brother Branham himself said, we have a portion. So then who was Brother Branham? His own spirit, yielding himself to the God who was there. He said, you know who I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for him. Now, if God dwelt in Brother Branham, as those people think, then he wouldn't be waiting for God. God was already there. But he was waiting for him to come on the scene. He said, now you know who I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him. You see, they don't understand the difference between residence and and dwelling. I mean, they you know, God was temporarily with Brother Branham. Come in, come out, come in, come out, like a yo-yo. But he wasn't temporarily in his son. Well, he was for 3.5 years. He identified with the body. That was his home. And so God dwelled in his son. All right. There's a difference between dwelt and dwelt. Okay. God indwelled his son. All right. And he was not there just in a temporary fashion. He was with him, period. No. All right. So Paul said, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead body. No. Colossians 2:9 says, him dwells all the fullness of God in body. Peter did not teach that the Holy Ghost was Jesus, but witness God the Father spoke and said that he came down and dwelt in his Son. Okay, 1 Peter 1:17. God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased to dwell in. So again, John 25, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. No, number four, Jesus prayed to his Father who is God. Okay, John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 16:26. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I shall say not unto you that I will pray for you, I will pray the Father for you. Now let me just stop back just a minute here. All right. If Jesus was born without the fullness of the Godhead bodily, didn't come till the River Jordan, then left him at Gethsemane to die as a mortal, then you, like him, the firstborn, have a time when God came into you, when God's word came into you. When God's spirit came into you, you have a beginning, and that's your actual birth. This physical birth was only to tie with the body that God saw before the foundation of the world. but your natural, but your spiritual birth was in him before that time, before the foundations of the world. You were just a thought in his mind at that time. All right. Now, John 17:9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given for me, that for they are mine. All right. I think a lot of times, you know, we pray for this minister and we pray for the government and we pray for this, you know, this and that and the other. Oh, yeah, we pray for this senator and this president and blah, blah, blah. Don't waste your time. Brother Brown said, I don't pray for America anymore. Pray for one another. That we would all be there together. And that we will all come to a realization that the word is manifesting all around us. And we are part of that manifestation. That's my prayer. All right. John 17:5. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And 17 and 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as, or in the same manner as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. What was that? The word in the manifested word, that we might be the same, the word in us that we might manifest. Okay? That they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. So whose glory was it first? It was God's glory, then he given to his son. For thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known thee. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So if you're looking for perfect love, get in Christ, and you'll have it. All right? Now, Matthew 6 and verse 7, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. But be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom is coming, thy will be done, because you're in here doing it, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Remember, grudge not for he standeth at the door knocking. So quit your grudges. It doesn't pay to have grudges, or maybe God will have to give you a stroke so you won't have grudges anymore. I don't know. But forgive. Look, who in here is perfect? Anybody? All right. Who in here has arrived? Anybody? So knock it off. But just because we are humans, all right, this part of us is no good. It's rotten. But there's him that's in us that's good. I remember a brother, he was a brother that could speak like seven languages. And he was really, got really sick. And so he was wondering, well, he was living such a good life that why would God let him get sick? And God said, there's nothing in you that is good except for me. And the guy realized, there's nothing in us that is good or will be good except for God. So just let go and let God, all right? Now, Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Whoa. You know, people hear me preach and they say, well, he just preached like a seventh grader. I'm sorry, but such as babes will learn. I'm not preaching to the heady and the high-minded. They missed it altogether. I'm preaching to those who have lowered themselves to become like these little children. You can talk to these little children and bring them up to your level. Even so, Father, so it is good, it has seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal it. Now, Matthew 14:23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So Jesus didn't pray for a show. He got alone with God to pray. All right. Now, Matthew 6:26 and 36. Then cometh Jesus unto them, unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Not a groupy thing. Not, hey, I'm going to go pray. Let's go pray together. No, he went off by himself to pray. Matthew 26:39. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye while, tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Now, if he could pray drops of blood, that's what I would call earnest. He was earnest about that prayer. What about you and I? You know, maybe we get up after 15 minutes and we think we had a long prayer. What about staying all night and all day until God does something for you? See, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Look, it was just for an hour and they fell asleep. How many of us fall asleep within an hour? All right. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Why do you think he's working in you to will and then to do? All right. Now, Matthew 26:42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Again, Jesus prayed. Matthew 26:53. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? In other words, look, I don't need your help. Now, I know Brother Bell used to say, you know, you got to get out your sword, you got to be, you know, this and that. But, you know, Jesus said, put it away. All right? In other words, it's not about your militancy. It's not about how violent you can be or how live, die, sink, or swim you can be. It's about God. And will he? Well, he's in you willing to do. So let him do and let him will. All right? And, you know, and that's not to say nothing against Brother Bell, because he retracted that later when he said that, you know, he that lives by the sword shall die by the sword. But it's just to say that sometimes we think that we can be militant for Jesus. No, you can't be militant. You just hold your ground. That's all. Just hold your ground. All right. Luke 6:12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Wow. We've read different places that he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Listen, his early ministry, before the apostles were formed, He went out to pray all night to God. Who was it praying? Jesus, the firstborn son. If he can pray all night to God, where is our prayer gone? Now, I realize the days of revival are over, but you still, if there's a revival in you personally, you can still pray to God all night. Where is it? And it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, John, and James, went up the mountain to pray. And he prayed, the fashion of countenance was altered, and his raiment was as white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, again, he took Peter, James, and John, and went up to pray. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy in sleep. You know, I'm sorry. And maybe it's just the human part of them. But how can you fall asleep when you're in the midst of the Son of God? How could these men? Look, you fall asleep either because you're wore out or because you're bored. They didn't know what was going on. Here Moses and Elijah, they see them and they're sleeping. That would have stirred me to, you know, stimulation of revelation. I would have said, what is going on here? He's being adopted. But they didn't know what we know until later, after his departure. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Now I could also add that Peter kind of shot off his mouth and said, let's get religious and let's make three tabernacles here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for you. But God said, shut up, hear him. So, you know, Peter's got a lot of things that he didn't do in his flesh real good. I mean, like on the day he denied Jesus three times but you know what? I think the rest of his life he made up for it. So don't give him too hard a time when you get over there. And just love him anyway. So now Luke 11:2 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, let me just scroll down. When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In other words, you recognize first who you are praying to and that he is most holy. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What's that? Thy kingdom, all the things that are happening right now is because of your will. Your will be done as in heaven, as so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. These are our needs now. After you acknowledge who you're praying to and that his will come to pass, you're seeing it come to pass. Then if you have a need, you slip that in there and you'll give us this day our daily bread. It forgives our sins as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So that's how we pray. Acknowledge our God, his will is going to happen. Now, I do have a need, and I believe it's scriptural. And so, Lord, you touch me and make me whole again. And I know it's going to happen because I will be done. So, and then just while we're at it, forgive us our sins as well. And as we forgive those who sinned against us, and lead us not into temptation, other testings, but deliver us from evil. All right. Mark 6:46, and when he sent them away, he departed into the mountain to pray. See, all these scriptures, all of the scriptures, you know, why is there so many about Jesus praying if he was God? Because he wasn't God. He was the Son of God, okay? John 1:3, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and in love. I couldn't get any plainer than that, but, you know, the Trinitarians, I don't want to make it different. All right. Now in Psalm 9:10, those who know your name trust in you, For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Just think about it. Never forsaken, even though you have forsaken. Even though you drifted, he didn't drift from you. He was there to keep you all the way through. Acts 2, 22 and 14. Then he said, the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. Now, I have this to ask you. How many of you, we have read many, many scriptures of Jesus praying and everything else, but when you heard them, your eyes may have gone back to then, but they also see it in the present tense. You see, that's what I'm saying is his word back then was in seed form, but you are seeing it in reality form. It's real to you. It's manifested all around you. Acts 22 and 18, then said he, the God of our ancestors, has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. Is that not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is that not the same? It was said in seed form, but we see it in this hour. We see that his word was made, that the ancestors, for the God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear words from his mouth. Wow, he's chosen me before the foundations of the world. And here I am. Here you are. All right. Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart to know me, for I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God. And they will return to me with all their heart. Jeremiah 31:34, there will be a day when watchmen cry out on the hills of Ephraim, come, let us go up to Zion to the Lord our God. And we are looking for that day to come. Hebrews 11, no longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will not all know me, from least of them to the greatest, from the youngest in here to the oldest. We'll all know. Wow. Look, one day we're going to say to Satan, you're the booger that scared the world into three world wars and did all this other stuff. You little twerp, get away from me. You have nothing to do with me. Yeah, right, you will. You'll say it to him because he has no power over you because of the blood. He has no power over you because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It pulled out his spirit. All right. Isaiah 54:13. Here's a great one. All your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. Think about that. All your children shall be taught. The millennium, Brother Vail said, is a further sanctification. What does that mean? You are washed by the washing of water by the word. We are not just going to go over there and play like, well, I'm a farmer today. No, you're going to be taught, and you will farm, but you will be taught. You will be taught the word, what it means, why it was hidden from some, revealed to you, why you were chosen, why they weren't chosen. Oh, I tell you, I'm looking forward to that day. Now, the unbeliever will never understand the godhood of God because they wish to be equal with God. Jeremiah 9:6, you live in the midst of deception. In their deceit, they refuse to acknowledge me, declares the Lord. Now, we are going to find out, not this next Sunday, but the Sunday after. And I preached a message that's called The Same Word. And I'm going to show you that we are in the time of deception. Not only is education and military and media and government and politics and healthcare and everything, but the reason it's the most deceptive time, Jesus said, they said, when will be the time of thy parousia? And he said, when you see that, he said, just watch out that no one deceives you. Then he said it will get so bad, this deception, that even the very elect will be deceived. How will they be deceived? Well, he says, go not out west. don't go to Tucson. Don't. He said, they'll say, look, in August 24th of 63, Brother Branham had two sets of question and answers, morning and night. And in both questions, both times, he was asked the question, must we move to Tucson to be where you are at to make the rapture? He said, no, whoever is teaching that is wrong. That would make me Antichrist. Jesus said, if they say Christ is in the West, go not forth. And if they say he's in the secret chamber, which means the storehouse, which also means distribution center, which is where, and I say this humbly, but where the voice of God started their business, in this distribution center of World War II. He said, if they say Christ is in the distribution center, believe it not. But from the west to the east, so the lightning that comes from the west to the east, so shall my parousia be. All right? So the most deception is right in the message. It is the greatest time because he didn't say, go not west, and the Lord will be there. And it's not in the distribution center for the Baptists. He didn't say that for the Pentecostals. He didn't say that for the Catholics or the Wesleyans. He said it for this message. That's where you're. The Baptists ain't going to fool anybody. Neither is the Pentecostal with their Hunda Mashunda and all everything else. That doesn't fool anybody today. Neither does the charismatic movement of everybody, shaking and, shaking their hands and, oh, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me a break. Listen, what deceives you is right in this message. He said they will come in alongside of true doctrine and bring destructive heresies. That is what is destroying the people. Brother Branham, when he left, there's 17 versions of the message already. Today, there's probably Heinz 69. Who knows? I mean, I guess there's 72 genders. There's probably 72 different versions of the message today. It's just incredible, but it's right among us. John 9:18 now. He said, then they said unto him, where is your father? Why do you know me? Or my father, Jesus replied, if you knew me, you would know my father also, because my father dwelleth in me. Okay, now, Matthew 7:23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you, but get away from me, you evil doers. There's going to be many people in his name. Now, listen, many of the Pentecostals and many of the Protestants and Catholics, they all say, in thy name we pray, amen. What name are you talking about? You could be saying Satan and we don't even know it. You could be saying Lucifer's name. We don't know it. But these are people that are commanded to get away from him, that were praying in the name of Jesus and getting healing and everything else. That's not out there. That's in here. They're not baptized out there in the name of Jesus Christ. They're baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's talking about what's right among us. John 8 and 16 to 19. They read the same Bible you read. They hear the same tapes you hear. But it's seed form to them. They have no clue what God is doing right now. What made him different? What made Daniel different? You read from Jeremiah, so did everybody else. Why did Daniel say, this is the hour? Let's prepare for it. Because he knew. See, Daniel was different. He was living in a reality of the word. It wasn't a seed to him. It was a reality. When the things that Jeremiah said, when are they to take place? Oh, in 7 years. How many years have we been here? Calculation. Well, we've been here 68 years. We better start getting ready for leaving this place. Daniel was like you. He was just like you. No different. You say, well, he was a prophet. Listen, we'd all be prophets. We'd all have the spirit of prophecy on us because we see a reality, not a seed form. All right? We see it that God said it is going to happen, period. There is no big eyes and little U's in the message, and there is no big eyes and little U's in the kingdom of God either. There's no Gentile, and there is no Jew. There's no, you know, there's just sons and daughters of God. Okay. John 8:16. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with my Father who sent me. In your law is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your Father? Why do you know me or my Father? Jesus replied, if you knew me, you would know my Father also. Why? Because my Father is in me. All right? So when you judge, it's not that we're, look, you're not judging. It's not your opinions, it's God's opinion. You judge righteous judgment. The Bible speaks that we are to judge righteous judgment. I am not judging those people, all the people in that attended Asbury, but I can say the rain falls on the just and the unjust. So what's the big deal? You see, that's not judgment, but it's judging righteously because the word judges. All right. John 5:31-37. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is true. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that God burned and gave light to, and you chose a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that my Father has given me to finish, the very works that I'm doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You never heard his voice nor seen his form at any time. Now, in conclusion, all right. You know that what took place down in Asbury, it was a true Holy Ghost, but a false, they were falsely anointed to it because they did not come out of what they were in. Number two, the men that went from Arkansas to that were supposedly message believers, and they say, well, our motive is to bring them into the message. No, your motive was to proselyte. Did God send you? I'm just asking, did God send you? Why does it say, separate me, Paul and Barnabas? Why does God say, you know, for us, that he's God the separator, not the joiner? You want people to join you. Forget it. Why don't you send them, find out who's there, and then send them a bunch of gospel messages like the Church Age book? Why don't you do that? You want to proselyte. I'm sorry, there was men there that were UPC that were baptizing people in the name of Jesus Christ, and they came to baptize. They came to convert. They came to bring, you know, oh, we're going to bring them to the truth. They don't even have the truth. What are they there for? And the people were, you know, the Holy Ghost was upon them. So what? Have you never been in a meeting when the Holy Ghost is upon you? I went into a meeting one time with my father-in-law, and I sat there, and the rain was falling. I felt it. And the man that got up to preach, I said, that man's not a true believer. I knew it right before. He got up there, the lead song, the song leader, was not a true believer. But the guy that got up and followed him, he was a true believer. Just exactly like Brother Brown had saw when he met the two men. He said one had two children by another woman, and he was just religious and everything else, but he was a phony. And the other man, and I tell you who that was. I will tell it. It's openly who it was. All right? That was Gordon Lindsay. Had two children by another woman. So Gordon Lindsay, after Brother Brown was off the scene, he speaks evil. His wife speaks evil about Brother Brown and everything else. Why? Because he exposed him. And he told, you know what? when the Holy Ghost in Brother Branham told him the truth, you know what he said? Mind your own business. Mind your own business, Father God. Mind your own business. That's why I say what is happening around the world should not interest you. It should not have anything to do with you. What is happening right now is with you and God, and that alone. Get with Him daily. Don't be looking at something happening here or something happening there. It's nothing. You've seen your last revival. The only revival there should be is that you're being revived for a resurrection. So just pray, pray, pray. That's all I ask you to do, is just pray and let God lead you. Because what is happening in the world is not for you. That's for them. Pray. In Jesus' name, that's all I ask. All right, let's pray. All right. Gracious Father, I'm sorry, Lord, I lost my temper, but I just have a righteous indignation. Lord, when I see things happening and people get all confused, there should be no confusion in this hour. It is either right or wrong. It is either God or it isn't God. And so what if the Holy Ghost anoints a whole bunch of people, start doing miracles and everything else, and then they go forth and they preach in the Father, name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They didn't come out of nothing. They're Westlands. They're seeing God in an age gone by. It's all church, church, church. And they have their meetings for the young people. They kick out the old people. Why? So they can proselyte the young. That's what it's all about, is a further proselytization of their school. They've done it 8 times, and it's wrong. It's wrong to use the name of God. It's wrong to use the Holy Spirit in any way for your own profit. That is wrong. But Father, you gave us a man who emptied himself out and gave us this wonderful, wonderful word, this wonderful, wonderful message. And it's getting us ready for your going home. Help us, Father, to just yield to it. In Jesus' name we pray. As Brother Vail said, I am not interested. If there's a man who has a track record of healing the sick, I would not go to him and ask for prayer if he was a Trinitarian for nothing, because he is showing that he is worshiping the devil. Your seed will not worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, left you stunned, didn't I? Sorry, but that's the truth. And we have some messages for you that are coming up, and you will see it is the truth. We have one on twins again, our last one on twins. Then we go to the same word. They read the same word you do, sister. They read the same word you do, brother. And you know what? To them, it is seed form, and to you, you see it in its reality. And everything that God is doing, he said, I am that I am. Not I was, not I will be, but I am.